Hi, everybody, and happy post-Thanksgiving.
I, of course, am Karel, and I'm about to sit and have some Thanksgiving leftovers because today, Monday, they must be gone. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's it. Today, they're gone. So, and mine are not meat or dairy based, so I get a little leeway there. But I've got my loaf here. This is my loaf from Field Roast, which was delicious. I've got my stuffing. I've got my sweet potatoes covered in a pineapple, whatever you want to call it, pine nut, pineapple, crazy and wonderful thing. And I've got some spinach for potassium. Ember is there. Hi, say hi, Ember. Say hi, beautiful girl. And I'll be joining you on the show in just a moment. But I wanted to start by saying today is Monday, November 29th. Yesterday would have been my mother's 90th birthday. Happy birthday, Mom. But today is the day you get rid of your Thanksgiving leftovers. That includes house guests. All food and visitors, time to go.
Could be. Who knows? It is the Karelcast. I am Karel. We lost Stephen Sondheim over the weekend. That was horrific. Really, if not, you don't even have to like musical theater to know a Stephen Sondheim song. And in fact, the shirt that I'm wearing right now, I don't know if you can see it. It says Tick, Tick, Boom. It is from a movie we're going to discuss today called Tick, Tick, Boom, available on Netflix. You'll be hearing about it for Oscar buzz. Stephen Sondheim has a role in that in so much as he's played by Bradley Whitford from The West Wing, and he actually leaves a voice message for the character, and it was the real Stephen Sondheim's voice. Just a big passing this weekend. I hope you had a grand and glorious Thanksgiving. I have not spoken to you since then. I was exhausted on Wednesday. I had a show. I recorded a show. I have a show from Wednesday that I did. I was so tired Wednesday night, I could not post it. And then Thursday and Friday, there was no time. So literally no time. Like I had no time. And so I hope you had a busy holiday season. That, of course, made me melancholy because having guests here at Maison Boulay reminded me of Park Howard in Long Beach and all the guests and all the fun we used to have down there. And I was so grateful for the guest I had, Stephen Cabral, my neighbor Ben, Mark Keane from my past, who now lives here in Las Vegas, known him 30 plus years, and his girlfriend Barbara. They were all here, and then my friends Bridget and Irma stopped by. And so it was fun. It was fun, and I hope you had a fun time too. I had delicious food, as you heard at the top of the show. Time to get rid of your leftovers, child. Don't be saving these leftovers till they turn into something that's got a life of their own, okay? Don't be opening up the refrigerator and having the stuffing smack you. You know, don't do that. There are some foods without meat or dairy that can keep a little longer, and you could freeze some things. But for the most part, today, Monday, Thanksgiving be over, honey. The leftovers be gone. And you know you're grateful. You can only prepare turkey and, well, blech, but stuffing and everything else, you know, so many ways. Okay, so it's gone. Goodbye. Mwah. My favorite dish was my potatoes, my twice-baked russet potatoes. That's what I enjoyed the most. Oh, my God, where I took a russet potato, I cut it in half, I roasted it in the Brava oven, but you can do the same thing in your oven at 450, wrap it in tin foil, put some oil on it, cut it in half, and bake it until the outside is all crusty, and then scoop it out, and then mix that with Miyoko's vegan butter, Miyoko's cheddar cheese, Miyoko mozzarella cheese, and a splash of almond milk, and whip the hell out of that, throw some garlic in there. Then chop some parsley and throw that in there. Then stuff that back inside the potato. Cover it with vegan bacon bits and mozzarella cheese and rebake it. When you do that, beautiful and marvelous things will happen. All right. So we got a lot to talk about today, and I want to get right to it. And, you know, I watched David Pakman. I watched a lot of progressive shows today to try to... In the new year, I want this show to compete with those and others. And instead of acting like, oh, it's just my little show, no one cares, in the new year, make them care. You know, and this show is, of course, going to morph into Life in Segments, where the Karel cast is a segment of Life in Segments. I don't know how many days a week we're going to do that, like one day a week. and then doing an hour show one day a week, or whether we'll do a half hour on Monday and then an hour on Fridays, or a half hour every single day, I don't know yet. I don't know how that's going to configure itself, but I do know we're going to try to do 3 10-minute segments and do them 3 to 5 times a week, or maybe once a week if we're going to do it for TV, whatever it might take. But in the new year, I want to compete. I'm not done yet. And so I was watching them today. And, you know, a lot of them really just draw upon what others do, meaning what did Trump do? What did so-and-so do? What did Fauci say? Fauci quipping at Ted Cruz when Ted Cruz said Fauci should be punished. And Fauci said, oh, really? What about January 6th, Senator? You know, like, sort of, you know, okay, that's all, whatever, that's all fine. Doesn't really affect my life in any way, shape, or form, and I'm not going to let it creep into my holidays. But I was, you know, I was watching them, and they were talking about, you know, Donald Trump's recent interview or speech or whatever, blathering. Who cares? I haven't heard his voice since he's been out of office. I pledge not to, and I have not. I have not heard Donald Trump's voice since he left office. I've not heard it. I've not listened. I've turned off everything that even might leave. Just, and I will never play audio of his if I can on this show, because I don't want you to ever have to hear his voice again. You know, it's like when you're done with somebody and you've broken up with them because they were abusive and horrible. You never want to hear their voice again. We never want to hear his again. You know, I was looking at the news. And, of course, the biggest news that we'll start with, it's not the main thing I want to talk about to you, so do stay tuned. But the biggest thing in the news, of course, is the Omicron variant. Now, we don't know if it's more, the symptoms are worse. We don't really know yet. We know very little about this variant. We know the South African doctors worked very hard and discovered it, and they should get a lot of credit instead of South Africa getting the blame. But that being said, you know, the Omicron is coming. It's already in Canada. It's coming. I'm probably here in Vegas. It's coming. Okay. What does that mean for you and I? The exact same thing as before. Get vaccinated. Keep washing your hands. Social distance as much as you can. And if you don't know if everyone in the room is vaccinated, leave your mask on. When you go into a store or a public place, keep your mask on. If you go to dinner, keep your mask on until you eat. It is risky when you eat, but so what? Hopefully strangers aren't sitting at your table. So go ahead and, well, back in the 70s, I'd welcome that. But go ahead and, you know, keep those rules that you've been keeping. Because that's what we have to do. We can't shut down. And when I say that, I mean as a people, as human beings. You gotta still see your friends. You've got to still, you know, go out and get supplies. You've got to do what you got to do, okay? Now, limit that. It is the holiday season. I know you're going to want to go out to shows and plays and premieres. You know, last night, my friend Steve Cabral, I love him. I do. He has a friend, Renee, coming into town, and he loves Renee, which is fabulous, and he's planning a bunch of events, which is great. You know, I wish I had someone to plan events for my birthday weekend. I had to plan them all myself. And you know, that was great. And I always plan them myself. And that was fine. But it would have been nice if someone said, oh, we're taking you to lunch on this day. Or you and I are going to go see that, whatever. But you know what? I think it's great that Renee is going to have a fun time while he's here in town. And so Steve called me and said, hey, do you want to go with us on New Year's Eve to this Disco Pussy party on Fremont Street? Disco Pussy is a bar with a big octopus chandelier. Now, normally I'd say, sure, that sounds fun. You and Renee, New Year's Eve, great, let's do it. I'm not going out to a crowded bar on Fremont Street on New Year's Eve. And it's not just Omicron that the reason I'm not going. Regular COVID, the regular old Delta variant, that is still here as well. And people are not going to be wearing masks. They're just not. It's going to be midnight. They're going to take off their mask and, you know, so no. Second of all, it's Las Vegas on New Year's Eve, and I ain't being anywhere outside at midnight. If you come to Vegas for New Year's Eve, either be at your resort, be at your hotel, or don't. In other words, don't come. Because the streets are wretchedly dangerous that night. They're horribly dangerous. There's fireworks, there's gunshots, there's drunk drivers. Just, it's not worth it. It's amateur night at the Apollo New Year's Eve. So don't, you know, just be at home. Be at home or be at a party with friends on New Year's Eve. Don't be at some packed party because COVID is still here. Okay? Now, if you can go to a gathering of 10 or 20 or 30 people and everybody's going to be vaccinated, or if you're going to a public event and you're in a place like California where everybody that gets in has got to be vaccinated and you want to wear a mask and go to that, okay. See, here in Nevada, I can't guarantee at Disco Pussy that everyone will be vaccinated. We don't have that mandate. So there's just no guarantee. And where our vaccination rate here in Nevada right now is 51.2% of the state is vaccinated. That means one out of two. So if there's 1,000 at that bar, 500 of them are not going to be vaccinated statistically. And I just don't, you know, I don't want to deal with that. I don't. So I am going to go to a pub at 3:30 in the afternoon on New Year's Eve, and at 4 o'clock ring in the New Year's at a pub. They're not normally that packed here in Vegas at that time for the Irish New Year. They might be this year, who knows, but I'm going to go do that and then come home. I'm not going to be out in the world on New Year's Eve. But it was very, very nice of him to ask, but I'm not going to do it because of Omicron. And I gave you that. And not just Omicron, but COVID in general. And then the other dangers of the night. If you throw COVID into the other dangers of being out at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock on New Year's Eve, uh-uh. If I were staying at the hotel where this Disco Pussy is housed down on Fremont Street and could just go up to my room, you know, whatever, but I'm not. So, yeah, no. But what I'm saying is you're going to have to decide this holiday season what's good for you. And you're going to have to use reason, logic, and a little bit of apprehension and fear, because a little bit of that is good, to keep you and your family safe over this holiday, the next 30-plus days of the year. Because Omicron is here, other variants are going to happen. Until everybody is vaccinated or until there is a de facto treatment that's like a pill, they're trying. But until COVID is managed, and it's still not, there's a pandemic special on Paramount Plus, South Park. It says post-COVID. We're not post-COVID. This Christmas could be as bad as the last. There are record numbers of cases being reported in many countries right now as we speak. Record number. Not record number for today, but record number period, meaning more cases are happening internationally now than ever in the disease. So whatever we did to stop it then, Japan's considering shutting down to all foreign travelers. Okay? So you're going to have to do what you feel is best for you and your family over this holiday season to stay safe from COVID and other things. So for me, Christmas will be low key. We're going to go out to eat. I'm not going to cook again. We're going to go probably to Jardine at the Wynn. Or maybe the Eiffel Tower restaurant. Why not have all these? Steve and I went to Lago at the Bellagio this weekend. It was so fabulous. It's, what's his name? Christian Serrano's restaurant, the famous chef. They were more than accommodating for me being a vegan because they have a chef. See, when you're a vegan and you go to a mid to low level restaurant, there's no real accommodations. If it's not on the menu, they don't have it. The chef doesn't really, you know, it's not really a chef. It's a cook. And that's that. If you go to a mom and pop, that's not true. But if you go to a mid-level Outback Steakhouse, whatever, their options are their options. If you go to a restaurant that has an actual chef and you say, I am a vegan, I said, look, I'm a vegan. Could you whip me up a salad? I don't see one on the menu that's actually vegan. And he said, sure. You want balsamic? I said, absolutely. Oh my God, the salad it was incredible. Arugula and regular greens and a delicious creamy balsamic dressing and beets and all orange, you know, golden beets. It was so good. And you're right there at the fountains. And so four times during our lunch, the fountains went off and did a big, you know, thing. And it was fabulous. And we weren't within 6 feet of another person and we wore masks. And it was great. And then we went and saw the flowers at Bellagio, which was very nice. And again, we wore a mask. We were not close to any. It wasn't thronged, packed. And it was great. So you're going to have to decide what to do for you and your family to keep you as safe as you can, but still allow you some fun. For me, I'm going to go out to eat on Christmas Day. And then on New Year's Eve, I'm going to be home. But at 4 in the afternoon, I'll be out in an Irish pub. Celebrating in the new year in Ireland. So that's going to happen. So Omicron's here. Don't fear it. Don't, in other words, don't, you know, panic, But at the same time, we don't know much about it. The symptoms might be milder. We don't know. We don't know what it does long term. We don't know if it comes on mild and then hits you strong. We don't know. So until we know more about it, you don't want it. So just stay safe, stay vigilant, stay vaccinated, and don't go places where there's idiots. If you're in California, many of you have to have mask mandates and or vaccine mandates. If the business you're going to doesn't have a mask or vaccine mandate and you're not comfortable there, don't go. You know, just we're still riding this out and you have permission to be as safe as you possibly want to be. All right. Let's move on to something I want to talk to you about. And the reason I mentioned I watched all the other shows is, you know, they don't really talk to you about you. And I don't know how that to say that any other way. They try to take the political topics and act like this is how, they don't even act like this is how that affects you. They actually are trying to tell you how you should feel about the political topics. Oh, here's Donald Trump being an idiot. Don't you hate him? Oh, here's Cruz being stupid. Don't you hate him? Here's so-and-so doing this. Don't you condemn them? They're trying to get a response out of you instead of really talk to you about things in your life that actually really, and when I say really matter, I mean you don't cry. Well, you might, and you might. But you don't, you know, cry every day over the news. You might, and you might get to a point where you turn it out so you don't cry every day over it. But you know what I'm saying. This morning, I watched this movie that I'm wearing the tank or the sweatshirt for here. If you see, it says Tick, Tick, Boom. And on the back of the shirt is the diner. Okay, if you can see, it says Moondance Diner. And, you know, I was hearing good things about this movie on Netflix. And it's also in the theaters. And it stars Andrew... oh my God, don't make me forget his name because he's so fabulous in it. Green, or, you know, he was Spider-Man. I see him in my face. I want to say Andy Green, but I'll look up. I'll look up the actual star. Garfield, I'm sorry. Andrew Garfield, thank you. Sorry about that, brain fart. And it stars Andrew Garfield as Jonathan Larson. Now, many of you may or may not know who Jonathan Larson is, but Jonathan Larson was the writer, creator of the mega smash Rent. All right. Rent turned Broadway on its end, much like Hedwig did, and other shows that came along and presented the musical in a non-traditional musical fashion, i.e. rock and roll and all kinds of different stuff, and told heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching stories that weren't, you know, just very superficially love stories, la-la, but were deeply emotional stories with deeply emotional lyrics. Rent changed the game back in the 90s. Now, the tragic story of Jonathan Larson is that Jonathan Larson died the night that Rent was to open in previews off-Broadway at his home of the condition I have. He had an aortic aneurysm. I have an aortic aneurysm. His got so big and it was undetected that it burst and he died. And he had Marfan syndrome undiagnosed, and that's one of the ways you get a large aorta. An aortic aneurysm, again, for those of you that don't know, is what the big blood vessel that leaves your heart, the aorta, that supplies most of the blood to your body. Up near the heart, it gets big. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it pops. For 3 days, he had chest pain, he had dizziness, he had nausea, and he had headaches. And he went to the ER, and they told him he had the flu. It had already broken. It was leaking. They could have fixed it. They could have cracked him open, done open heart surgery, and fixed the aorta. They didn't because they didn't diagnose it, and he died. So that really almost was a medical mistake, but... I wonder if they sued for malpractice, because they would have had a case. Now, that story, and there's been a lot of great television and movies recently, not exploiting the pain of my generation, but illustrating beautifully the pain of my generation. Pose, It's a Sin, now this Tick, Tick, Boom. The AIDS generation, the 80s, the 90s, and what it was to be gay in America when everybody was against you. Everybody. AIDS made everyone turn on us. You know, you all think you know what it was like to be gay in America in the 80s, in the 70s, 60s, 50s, 90s, 2000s. You don't. You just don't. You know, Ethan Behrman said something nice about me on Twitter today. He really did. He said I was one of the first hosts to actually be nice to him and act like he mattered. You know, he was a weekend host at KGO, and no one was really paying attention to him. But I considered us all just the same. There were no stars in talk radio. There were just very lucky people who got to go into a room and talk to the air for a few hours and be very lucky. So I was watching Tick, Tick, Boom, and it's about what he did prior to Rent. You know, Rent wasn't his first thing. He was already in his 30s. And in musical theater in New York, that was old because he hadn't had anything really hit yet. A lot of his friends were moving on, were getting jobs as creative people, but in paying fields, advertising, writing jingles, writing music, you know, that sort of stuff. But bending their dream. Did you stick to your dream as much as you could? Honest question here. You know, my whole life I have stuck to my dream. I didn't bend it. I didn't go. I could have been any, with my intellect and wit and all of it, I could have been a lawyer. With my medical acumen, I could have been a doctor. I could have had many a high-paying job. And as a talk show host, could have taken different paths if I was a different person. If I didn't care for everybody like Ethan Behrman. If Andrew and I were ruthless and only cared for ourselves back in the day and only cared about money and only cared about the social climb and all of that. But I didn't. My dream was to entertain. It still is. To make a difference and entertain. That was to be Barbara Streisand. That was my dream. To make movies, to make records, to write books, to communicate with you. And I've tried to do it. And in not bending my dream, I didn't set myself up for retirement, for a future of financial security. And that was one of the points of Tick, Tick, Boom. It's always about the money of art. Always. Always, always, always. Whether it's a play or a book or whatever it is, it's always about the money. Never about the art. It's always about the money. And how that tears at you and rips at you and makes people like Jonathan Larson live in abject poverty in New York, which is where he lived in a place where the power would get cut off, where, you know, he would have deadlines and have to be writing by candlelight. But he kept writing. And when he had a chance to veer, even though he wanted to, because after one of the big things that he dumped years into didn't make it, there's a powerful message from Judith Light. He says, what am I supposed to do now? I dumped 5 years into this and no one wants to pick it up. No one wants to produce it for Broadway. What am I supposed to do? And his agent said, honey, you pick up your book and you write something else and you throw it against the wall. And then you write something else and you throw it against the wall and you keep writing and throwing against the wall until something, somehow, out of a million to one, magically sticks. That has been my whole life. Create shows, create movies, books, videos, tours, stage shows, whatever, and hurl them out there and hope something sticks. That's been my whole life. And it's my whole life ahead of me. It's what I still have to look forward to. I still have to form ideas, form shows, form performances, throw them out there, hope they resonate, one of them or two of them or three of them, so then they can get me bigger and better opportunities. That's what it's all about. It's also about one person smiling at you. Stephen Sondheim became a buddy of his and suddenly doors, you know, opened. But the whole entire thrust of Tick, Tick, Boom is twofold. It's, do you hold on to the dream no matter what? You know, no matter what, do you keep persevering or do you bend it? Do you water it down? Do you abandon it? Do you say, I need a 401k. I need a nice car. I need a house with heating and gas and rent. I need to know where my next check is coming from. That's important. See, my whole life, knowing where my next check came from was never a thing. I just knew there'd be one. I'd figure it out. I never really, then we went into commercial radio, and that's when I got used to the check, and that was something. KFI for 3-4 years and 5 years, and then KGO for 11 years, a check going into your bank account from radio. That was incredible. That was incredible. It was the merging of both of the things, a merging of the dream and the reality of it. That's what SAG-AFTRA does. That helps talent merge the dream and the reality. That's why that union is so important. But what about you? Well, I know we all can't be living the dream, but you know, today my friend David, I can spill, he doesn't listen. He works for a realtor right now, and he's a transaction coordinator. And that realty team is off in Prague and in Europe having a grand time because they've been making a crap ton of money because selling real estate right now is a pretty good job to be in. And so they're selling homes in Long Beach that are $1 million plus. And so they're making good commissions. Well, they're away, and so David's picking up all the slack, doing all the work. And since he's an agent too, he's doing above and beyond. And today he was kind of mad about that. And I said, you're not mad. You know, let me tell you what you're mad at. You're mad that they're out living their best life at your expense. And, you know, that touches on a really big topic. There are so many people in this world living their best lives at our expense. Whether it's in your personal realm, your friends who are benefiting so much from your friendship, they're living their best life and it's at your expense. Family members who dump responsibility on you that should be theirs, but they're dumping it on you, and nothing angers a person more than seeing someone out living their best life at their expense. And financial expense. Bezos, Musk, they're outliving their best life by putting you in huge debt. Tesla wants to put you in $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 debt for a car they could offer for $10,000. But that's how you get to be the richest man in the world. Jeff Bezos started a credit card company for Amazon to put you in huge debt for the stuff that he sells online. They want you to, the government, everybody wants you to be in debt so they can have their best lives. AT&T, all of them, right down the line, Cox Cable, they all want you to be in debt so they can live their corporate best lives. And that's what they do. They keep us poor, in debt, grateful for little things. It's kind of sad, really. It's really kind of sad that, and it's funny, in Tick, Tick, Boom, one of his first plays was about a dystopian future where everyone's addicted to their monitors and everyone's so poor that their only escapism is watching the 1% who now videotape their lives and make it into shows for the poor people to watch. Does that sound familiar? Jonathan Larson wrote that in the early 90s. Okay? About a society that becomes poor but watches the rich be rich. That's exactly who we are now. We even protect the rich. And yet they get rich at our expense because nothing should anger you more than someone living their best life at your expense. Because that means you're not living yours. And so you need to change that. You need to change that. You need to change the diametrics there. You need to change how that is in place, the pieces of that puzzle. Because that will drive you mad. And they use that, you know, they fear is used to market to us, you know, all this kind of stuff. But more importantly, they never present it with, we're going to live our best lives at your expense. But that's what it's about. Politicians are living their, Joe Manchin is living his best life at our expense. They're all living their best lives at our literal expense of our lives, of our bodies, of our time. So you need to make sure that you start getting what you need. This week, I want you to get what you need out of the week. Not what your boss needs, not what your husband needs, not what your wife needs, not what your dog needs. I want you to get something that you need out of this week. What do you need to start living your best life? For me, we'll talk about this more on Wednesday, it's getting a hold of my diet. I have gained 15 pounds over the last 3 months, went from 185, 186 to about 201, 202. That's got to stop. And so, in fact, I think they've gotten some friends now too. I could be up to 205 by now. I don't know, but it's got to stop. It's going in the wrong direction. I know how to do it. And I'm going to do it. So, I'm going to prioritize that. I'm going to put that above other things. People can't be living their best life at your expense if you are putting you first. This week, I want you to put you first. I know it's the holidays and you're Christmas shopping and you're getting all, and this is where everyone in the family comes into play. But this week, I want you to do something to move forward to living your best life in the new year and not at someone else's expense, by the way. I am Carell. You be who you want to be, so I don't hurt anybody. Sorry I was not here on Wednesday and Friday, so I took a couple of days off. I'm deeply sorry for that. I felt guilty. But I needed it. I was very, very busy. Remember to follow me at social media, Instagram and Twitter. It's really Carell, R-E-A-L-L-Y-K-A-R-E-L. And for you Patreon subscribers, they're about to ding your credit card again, and I thank you so much for your $5 or $10 or whatever. I can't tell you how much it really does. And that's why we're going to make this show a contender. We're going to get that Patreon back up to $1,500 from where it's at now at about $550, $600. We're going to get that up. They're going to get more consistent, a little better production value. The new year, we're changing the whole game again because I can, because I must, because I'm not done yet, and because you deserve it. And so this week, I want you to do something for yourself. Make sure that you're trying to start to live your best life. Maybe it's exercise a little more. Maybe it's get a hold of your eating. Maybe it's set boundaries in a relationship where someone is living their best life at your expense and you don't want to pay anymore. Whatever it might be, I want you this week to start moving in that direction, in setting yourself up to get the most out of this week for you. All righty? That doesn't mean being selfish, by the way. I know I'll go a little overtime here. That doesn't mean being selfish. Living your best life doesn't mean and that's the whole point. You can live your best life in harmony with the people around you. You don't have to exploit them. You don't have to harm them. You can live in harmony with them and help them live their best life as you are living yours. You don't have, it's not a competition. We are not here to beat all other humans out of whatever it might be that's available. We're here to share with all other humans the bounties that are here. Someone said, you're bougie. I said, of course I'm bougie. Of course I like the finest things life has to offer. Don't you? And don't you want those all the time? And why is that wrong? If there is something on planet Earth that is spectacular, why shouldn't I have it? This is my time on planet Earth. I don't know when I'm going to drop. I'm 59. My aorta's getting a little larger. You know what? I don't know. I've been watching movies about AIDS where all of my friends died in their 20s and 30s and had me on the floor this morning crying my eyes out yet again, because every time I see one of these AIDS movies, all I can think about is every single person that I've No, I'm not. See, this movie took me there this morning. I'm not closing the show with tears. I just miss Lorenzo and Andrew and John and Gary. And I could go down the list of people that should be here at my Thanksgiving table and Christmas tables, but they're not. They're not because of virus. Because how society reacted to that virus. Because how it was okay to hate us for it. It's just a gay disease. Let them die. And it all comes back when you watch these shows because they do it so well. All the Jerry Falwell hatred and the bigotry that was allowed. It was allowed in public. It was fashionable. It was okay to bash my friends as they died. It was okay to not touch them. It was okay to tell them it was their fault. I am so grateful to you and the universe that I stand here at 59 with all these problems. Jonathan Larson would love to be here right now. He was only 2 years older than me. He'd be 61. So many. And that's why you need to stop letting people live their best life at your expense, people. Because this game that we play, this daily game of life ends abruptly and without warning. And if you're not getting what you need from it, then you didn't get it. If you're not living the life you want, then you're not going to until you start. All right, we're back on Wednesday. Much love to you. I am Carell. Be who you want to be, so long as it doesn't hurt anybody.